forensically and honestly examined. A state of fear asks that we also interrogate the behavioural science approach to managing people's emotions and behaviour. COVID-19 has become another of the many endemic viruses we have to live with. It was known from the very beginning to be a very mild illness for nearly all of us. The UK's chief scientific advisor, Patrick Vallance, stated this publicly on 13 March 2020. Experience has proven that correct. COVID was not lethal or dangerous to the vast majority. Vaccines and treatments were developed at miraculous speed to protect the vulnerable. So what are we still afraid of? The third wave, a fourth wave, a fifth wave? Winter recurrences, mutations, future viruses, and the unknown haunt us. From roadside signs telling us to stay alert, the incessantly doom-laden media commentary, to masks, literally keeping the fear in our face, we've become afraid of each other. Humans are now vectors of transmission, agents of disease. We have become afraid of our own judgment about how to manage the minutiae of our lives, from who to hug to whether to share a serving spoon. Apparently, we even need guidance about whether we can sit next to a friend on a bench. But perhaps we need to be more afraid of how easily manipulated we can be. Some will believe that leveraging our fear can be justified if it is in our best interests. If you agree that COVID-19 is the biggest threat this country has faced in peacetime history, as the government asserted in its consultation document, Changes to Human Medicine Regulations to Support the Rollout of COVID-19 Vaccines, you might think it was not only acceptable but desirable to scare the British public into complying with regulations that resulted in the greatest imposition on our liberty in peacetime. If you obtained all your information about the epidemic from Number 10 press briefings, that might be your mindset. Tactics to quell debate and censor dissent mean that information presented in this book may feel new, even challenging. It can be psychologically uncomfortable to encounter contradictory information. We don't like to believe we can be manipulated, let alone that we have been manipulated. This book may hurt. People vastly overestimated the spread and deadliness of COVID-19. One survey in July 2020 showed that the British public thought 6-7% of the population had died from coronavirus, around 100 times the actual death rate at the time based on official figures. That would have been about 4.5 million bodies. We'd have noticed, don't you think? It was reported in January 2021 that the COVID epidemic caused excess deaths to November to rise to their highest level in the UK since the Second World War. This was headline news throughout the UK media. However, once the age and size of the population were taken into account, excess deaths were at their worst since just 2008. That is very significant and showed that just over a decade of public health improvements had been undone, but less hyperbolic than the headlines. In September 2020, the British people were also more concerned about the spread of the virus than people in Sweden, the US, France, Germany, and Japan. 83% of us thought there would be a second wave, while only 21% of us thought that the government was well prepared to deal with it. An international study of public attitudes across Europe, America, and Asia found that people in the UK had the highest overall levels of concern about COVID. And yet another study reported that Britons were the least likely to believe that the economy and businesses should open if COVID was not fully contained. We were the most frightened population in the world. By February 2021, we had one of the most rapid and comprehensive vaccination programs in the world, yet also the most stringent lockdown in the developed world. People are notoriously bad at judging risk and numbers, but we have substantially overestimated the dangers. And this wasn't helped by the daily reports from the government and media. We heard about new cases, but never recoveries. Hospital admissions, but not discharges, were reported. We were given numbers of daily deaths, but largely without the context that about 1,600